They're asking me about this waltz from Minnesota. Here's the thing. As Florida governor, I learn a lot about other states because when people leave those states, they tell me why they left those states. And I remember during COVID, the absolute frustration that people had moving from Minnesota because of how they were being treated. You know, this is a guy that's out there. He's got this line in the stump speech saying, you know, our neighbors can do what they want. Mind your own damn business. Fine. Then why did you set up a snitch hotline for neighbors to report on their neighbors for violating your draconian COVID restrictions? That's not minding your own damn business. That's government overreach.
He's right. I mean, that's Governor Ron DeSantis. I mean, that's what Walz did. He set up a snitch line, an actual snitch line. I don't think anything makes me angrier about that, because I'm still mad over the whole lockdown thing. I'm still mad about it. I mean, Juan's got the phone call. I mean, this was the actual phone call when you would call the snitch line. You saw somebody like, oh, they weren't wearing their face panty. Oh, no, I saw them out of their house and they wasn't wearing their face panty. I better call that snitch line. And then you would pick up your phone and you would call Governor Tim Walz's snitch line. And you would dial the number to the snitch line and it would take you to this.
Hello, you have reached the Department of Public Safety stay-at-home hotline. The information you leave is considered public information. At the tone, please leave the following information: your name, your callback number, how the stay-at-home order is being violated, and where the stay-at-home order was violated. Thank you.
It was violated at your mom. I swear, I can't. You know, we make fun. We like look at what's been happening in Britain. You know, where it's you see like a two-tier system of justice and people have been they've been in trouble. Like, for instance, there's a guy who was told he after he beat up an emergency worker, his name's Mustafa Al Madibab, and he was ordered to pay £2 a month for assaulting an emergency worker. He was let off with community service as he does not speak English. And then a guy named Stephen Mallon, he was jailed for 26 months because he gesticulated at the police. He gesticulated. I got my feels hurt because he made an X with his arms and thrust at me. I got my feels hurt. That's what's happening over there. And then you got Walz over here making a snitch line. By the way, welcome back, everybody. Second hour, top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. Discussion over at Rumble, where you can stream the show. Also, Channel 347, DirecTV. We're on X. Sign up at Substack, the newsletter, chapter and verse. So I saw this one pic real quick. This is killing me. Washington Post. I talked about this hat yesterday and how Realtree, I explained the licensing and how Realtree does not support Harry Walz. And Washington Post goes, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz just posted a photo of himself wearing the just released Harry Walz camo hat, in quotations. They're like, ooh, camo, it's a novelty. The sold out back ordered campaign merch is a send up of a what? It's a send up of Minnesota Governor's trademark Midwestern dad fashion, giving MAGA a run for its money. Whose grandma wrote this? Look, he's an old man wearing a hat. That must be some sinned up trademark Midwestern dad fashion. Can you get any more word salad in there, you damn dreaded Zoomer? It's a sinned up of the Minnesota governor's trademark Midwestern dad fashion. What? He's cosplaying. I mean, good grief. This is so stupid. That's all they have. That's all they have is the hat. So, I don't know, man. They're cosplaying as regular everyday people. This is what I think is so funny. Nobody can afford a damn thing, but they're selling $40 camo hats. Guys, show us that you're a Midwestern, show us your Midwestern dad fashion by purchasing in a time of great inflation where butter's like $8 and a dozen eggs are $7, a $40 Midwestern dad hat. It's just a ball cap, you dumbasses. Have they never seen a ball cap before? This old man puts a ball cap on his head and they're like, quick, how can we make this niche? It's Midwestern dad fashion. Have you ever been to the Midwest? The people writing about this, they never been to the Midwest. Oh my gosh. Can't deal with it. All right, so some of the other stuff. I got a lot to think. Ugh, got a lot here. First up, let's, because, you know, Biden's still in office, right? You guys know this, right? He's still there.
Is he?
Yeah, guys, he's doing the big stuff. He's focusing on some very important problems right now. Important problems that are roiling the nation. And that is plastic cutlery. In a bid to save the world, the Biden administration has announced a plan to target plastic cutlery across federal departments. They're taking aim at the climate crisis. It's an all-hands-on-deck response. So, China dumps, like, actual garbage and turds into the ocean. Nobody says anything to them. Chemicals, they make their lakes pink and toxic. They do all that. They don't care. And the United States is, well, I guess we should get rid of our plastic cutlery. That's going to save the world. That's the Biden administration's approach to this. You have to drink out of a straw that literally dissolves in your mouth and in your drink. So China can dump chemicals in the ocean.
Hurry up, drink it.
I know, by the way, sidebar, is that not the worst thing ever? When I get my cup and if there is a paper straw in it, I want to throw the whole cup. I want to throw it. It takes everything I have. I want to throw it. It makes me so, it's so, and there's dyes on that damn straw. Have you noticed? And it's always those stripy straws. That's dye. That's dye that's going in your drink because it's a stupid paper straw. Can't even make words. It makes me so angry. I have cornstarch straw. I would buy plastic, but they don't make them in these fun colors like this that I can get on Amazon. So it's just, I didn't mean to be good to the earth. I just don't, come on. I just
bought it. The cool thing about those is they eventually do dissolve, but I've left one in a drink just to see how long it would take for it to dissolve. And after like 2 or 3 days, it still was a straw.
Yeah, it's a straw.
So mm-hmm.
I don't know why people don't do that. It was so easy for me to do. And they go for those fashion striped straws. I hate those stupid things. Because you know that's like toxic dye on those dumb things too. And it's all, you're drinking it, you're consuming it. It's so dumb. Anyway, so yeah, that's what he's doing. He's going to reduce the sale of single-use plastic products on public lands. Well, what are you supposed to eat with? If you go to like a museum or something, you go to their little sit-in cafeteria at a park on public land, you think they're going to be going out and buying stuff? No, it's you know what it's going to be like? What's that place? Medieval times. It's going to be like medieval times. And you got to go in there, just going to give you turkey leg. You're going to have to gnaw at everything with your hands. That's what they're going to do. Can I tell you a story about that, by the way? I legit just heard thunder right now.
And my
windows the hell
are
is going on in Texas? Are your windows down?
They are.
Look at us. We're like, Kane, do you need to go roll your windows up? So you've been in medieval times, right? That's like the castle where, you know, if you're by medieval times and you've never gone, there wasn't any in Missouri. So when we moved here to Texas, we went twice. You had to go. And I always, my husband was like, that's kind of bougie, Dana, because I brought literally plastic cutlery with me.
I've seen people do that.
Okay. My husband was like, why are you doing that? It's because we evolved and invented this stuff. That's why I'm doing it. Look at this. We don't eat with our feet and hands anymore because we evolved as a species. That's why I'm bringing it in.
I'm improving my chopstick skills.
I brought wet ones and everything. I'm like, I could sit here and just eat this stuff with my hands, scooping up some taters or whatever, but I ain't doing it, you know? I'm not going to do it.
Clean my hands off of my jeans.
Yeah, they're like, they basically send someone to lick your hands off.
With your napkins.
They don't do that, but yeah, it's just so bad. So I was just like, nope, I'm going to take care of my business because I came prepared. My husband could not believe, he looked at me and he was like, I'm watching you open like the equivalent of a Quick Mart here at medieval times. It's like, no. There's certain things that I don't do. And it's not because I'm being bougie or anything like that. Like, I love the outdoors and I love rocks. And I mean, it's like I got to eat dirt or something to like convince people that I love nature. I love nature. Whoopity-doo. It's great. I love being outdoors. But you know what? I also don't like pretending to be homeless. And that's why I don't camp. Because we, as humans, invented the house. And as a result, we stay in them. Right? Just like we, as humans, invented cutlery. And so I will use that. I am not going to throw away generations of achievements of our ancestors by saying, no, I don't want your house or your cutlery. I'm going to pretend to be without. I'm not doing that. I'm just not going to do it. Sorry.
We invented tents first.
Yeah. But then we invented the house. Mm-hmm. It's like saying, let's go back to the Flintstone cars. Let's pretend for a little bit. Nope, that's okay. I'm good. I'm all right. Anyway, Biden.
Brontosaurus ribs, though.
Yeah. Well, he's going to solve all the world's problems because he's going to go after the plastic forks. Yeah, we'll fork you. It's not going to do anything. Not going to do nothing. I mean, basically, isn't it going to just raise costs on people? It's going to be like military bases and government workplaces. So instead of maybe, here's a thought. Instead of trying to reduce the use of plastic cutlery, maybe reduce the size of the federal government. What? That sounds like a great idea. You know, if you have fewer people in government, you have fewer people using the plastic cutlery. What? I know. Amazing, is it not? So that's what he's been focusing on. In case you wonder where Joe Biden was. As we roll towards headlines, our partners that help bring you free radio. Oh, Tax Network USA. Because the IRS just wants so much of your money. You're just, you know, you're not taxed enough, apparently. And if you're swamped by back taxes or unfiled returns, look, the IRS, the Professional Government Theft Agency, has hired 88,000 new agents. And they are cracking down. Millions of these pay-up notices have already been sent. And you don't have, if you're one of the people who's looking at this, you know, coming in your mailbox, you do not have to face it alone. Tax Network USA can help. They're tightening, IRS tightening its grip. Tax USA is needed now more than ever. You can schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 1-800-958-1000 or visiting TNUSA.com. Tax Network USA has a track record of saving clients over $1 billion in back taxes, showcasing their expertise and reliability in tax relief. Their skilled professionals are dedicated to securing the best possible resolution for your tax issues, making sure that you get the most favorable outcome. So whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, and regardless of whether it is for personal or business taxes, they have the tools and the experience to handle any situation. So whether you're able to pay or if you're on a fixed income, Tax Network USA provides tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. Don't let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network USA support. Take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit TNUSA.com/Dana and work with a company I trust. They can help you resolve your tax burdens once and for all. TNUSA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So, by the way, if you're watching the simulcast on the stream, we just lost power. There's a major storm rolling through Texas. So my big hoss generator just kicked in. So we're going to be back up and running here very shortly. So I just wanted to let y'all know that. All right. So first off, 12 F-22 fighters reportedly inbound. They land in the Middle East for force posturing against Iran. That's the CENTCOM. They confirmed that an unspecified number of F-22 Raptor stealth fighters have arrived in their area of responsibility. So that's going to be interesting to watch. That's one of the things you got to keep an eye on. It's not the vax, guys. I mean, the injections. No drink is safe. Studies show alcohol's linked to a growing list of cancers. Everything causes cancers. But you know what definitely does? I'm just going to say it could be the shot. Just saying. COVID fell to the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. last year, down from 4th, because we should be learning about how viruses work, but we're not. The Pegasus is a revolutionary hybrid flying car. I don't want a hybrid flying car. It can travel on the highway and fly for up to 3 hours. I do not. I want gas and oil, something that I can measure and something that I know is going to work. I'm just going to say. But it uses an electric charge for ground travel and gas for flying. Authorities in Australia have already approved it. I am not excited about air travel like everybody in the air, because I've seen everyone try to drive and it's just kind of a nightmare. I just can't imagine how that's going to work. AI is basically just a homework cheating machine now. I feel like AI is going to make our students dumber. OpenAI has a tool to detect if something was written by ChatGPT, but it hasn't released it yet. And so now, apparently, I mean, they've already been banning all kinds of stuff in classrooms. But they said that the most common use was creative writing and role play and all kinds of stuff. So if you have like a writing assignment, a lot of students have been using it for that. The state of Louisiana becomes the first to impose surgical castration on child rapists. Good job, Louisiana. Although they should be murdered entirely. Actually, it's not murdered. It's called justice. They should be killed entirely. It's the fourth place in the world with such punishment. So if you're not going to kill them, castrate them. I think that's a genius job. Hat tip to Louisiana for becoming the first state to impose surgical castration on child rapists. And they've done that. It includes rape, incest, and molestation. Obviously, it's an irreversible medical progress. The only other places you can do it, Czech Republic, Madagascar, and Nigeria. It's not like chemical castration. It's much more invasive. It's surgical. They take it all off. That's it. And if you commit a sexual offense against a child under 13 in Louisiana, you're a prime candidate for it. All right, we're going to try to get Brad Thor up. We had a little bit of a power outage, so just FYI. We'll deal with that. We'll be back up and running in minutes. Stick with us. Great company. I'm a huge, obviously. I don't know if you guys can tell. If you've ever looked at, like, you know, my gun wall, Kel-Tec is a great company, and they have a great all-American story, too, which is nice. George Kellgren, he immigrated over here, you know, the right way, immigrated over here to the United States and was able to create this awesome company. And they've invented a lot of stuff, and particularly the compact carry, like, market. They've created that. That's Kel-Tec's innovation and design on all of that. But they've got, you know, they've come out with a few new things, including the P-15, which we've discussed. They have two versions of it. It's a striker fire pistol. You have the polymer version and the metal version. A metal frame, which is awesome, has that walnut, I think, wood panel texture grip. I don't care if it's walnut or not. It just looks cool. It's like an old James Bond gun. Comes with two magazines, your standard 15-round mag with a minimal pinky extension. And then you got the flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable rear, lifetime warranty. Compact and ideal for concealed carry from the people who created that micro compact pistol category. It's just game changing innovation and performance, and all quality made right here in the US of A by a family owned company. So learn more about Kel-Tec weapons at KelTecWeapons.com and check out the P-15, two versions, KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
So anyone she picks will be eminently more qualified than a guy who thinks that if you're a single hardworking woman in America, you should have to pay more in taxes. Again, this is just bizarre, doesn't make any sense. And by the way, if you are single and you meet someone and you want to start a family, JD Vance doesn't support you using IVF to start that family. And say, unfortunately, you start a family and your spouse becomes violent, he has said that he thinks that you should be forced to stay in a violent marriage. So I don't think Kamala Harris is going to pick anyone as weird and creepy is JD Vance.
I think it's weird for a guy who banged a Chinese spy to call anybody else weird and creepy. Eric Swalwell. I mean, this was the guy who one time asked to speak to my boss because he assumed that I, as a female, had to have a male superior, at which point I had to drop him and tell him that I am the boss. So come speak to me, son. I can't stand this guy because he's all like high on his own supply. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, Channel 347 DirecTV. Find us on Rumble and X. I'm not an Eric Swalwell fan. He's just like a guy I would never get along with. You know, you meet some people and you're like, I would never get along with you. I don't know if I would ever get along with JD Vance, but I think these comments about him are so weird. That's what's weird. I mean, you guys, the Democrats hired you guys remember the suitcase stealing nuclear twink that they had, right? The Sam Brinkman guy, the guy who, didn't he have like a security clearance? Well, he had to have some level of security clearance. He had a security clearance, and he was the guy who went around stealing all of these ladies' luggage. And remember, he stole this one woman's luggage. And because I know that identity politics are very important to the left, she was a black woman, a black female designer, clothing designer, and jewelry designer. And he stole her original works and was wearing them wrongly all around town, like to different events and stuff like that. And she was like, that's my stuff. And he was able to kind of skirt consequences. He stole so many suitcases over the years. And he had a security pass and he was working in, you know, with our nuclear stash. That's what's weird. I mean, have you seen like the deputy director of Health and Human Services? It's a dude that wants to be a woman and wants to lecture everyone else about their health. You guys don't get to sit. Why is J.D. Vance weird? Because he drinks Diet Dew. He didn't even say he drank Diet Mountain Dew. He was at an event and he pointed out that there was Diet Mountain Dew on the table. And the insufferable, ridiculous left was like, oh my gosh, he drinks Diet Mountain Dew. And they lost their minds. And by the way, his remarks on IVF, he actually never said anything about IVF. And it doesn't matter because Trump has already a position on IVF. So what does it matter if Trump is for IVF? I mean, they just want to bring this back to abortion so bad, so badly. That's all they want to do. And it's just so stupid. Stop this. But they're mad at him and they're trying to use this as an apparatus by which they can further chip away at the white suburban women's vote, which, oh my gosh, white leftist women annoy the hell out of me sometimes. They really do. Not all of them, but there's some of them that do. And I don't get it. They got together and it was like a Kamala Harris event. Where's this at? Oh my gosh. I got to play this. And then we're going to get to the cat lady stuff. Yeah. Audio Somebody 24. Okay. So let me set this up. This was a bunch of white progressive women who got together over a Zoom call to talk about Kamala Harris and discussing white privilege. This is the subset of ladies that are very upset, I guess, over J.D. Vance. And they're trying to, and this is the subset of women that Democrats are trying to rile all up. Go ahead and play this because this is hysterical. This is not a parody. I feel like I'm watching like a skit a la The Californians on SNL. Go ahead.
As white women, we need to use our privilege to make positive changes. If you find yourself talking over or speaking for BIPOC individuals or, God forbid, correcting them, just take a beat. And instead, we can put our listening ears on.
What the hell am I watching?
Do learn from and amplify the voices of those who have been historically marginalized and use the privilege you have in order to push for systemic change. As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn. So do check your blind spots. You are responsible for your algorithm, believe it or not.
Is that what, if you ever wanted to see what Chardonnay looked like in bipedal form, it's that. Sponsored by Lululemon, Chardonnay, and Home Goods. That's what that whole Zoom call was about. So that chick apparently was like the Kamala Karen leader. And I love the whole earbuds. Like there was like choreography and stuff with it. What in the world? Thank heavens that white progressive women exist, or black women would never get ahead in life because they're apparently too dumb without their white lady saviors. That's what they, do you realize how unbelievably racist that is? A bunch of these, Western society has achieved so much that these broads apparently think that there's nothing else left to accomplish or in life, or to that all the other problems are solved. So they have to create problems that they can also pretend to solve. And so they are so high on themselves. They actually think that their greatness, their self-perceived greatness, victimizes other people. That's really ultimately when you distill all of this down, that's what they're saying. That they're so great and like so awesome that you have to check your privilege. Like, what privilege are you talking about, princesses? What privilege? I mean, if I examine my own life, I don't know, the privilege of being a statistic, of coming from a single parent household. You know, that kind of privilege, the privilege of growing up broker than Barack Obama ever could dream of, than Kamala Harris could ever dream of. I'm just curious, like what privilege? You know, the privilege of being told that I'm a domestic terrorist by sitting members of my own government simply because I, as a female, want to make sure that I can protect myself because statistically women are more greatly victimized than men. Like that kind of, that privilege. I mean, what the hell are you talking about privilege? This is so stupid. These women are just creating problems that they hurt and rescue that then they're going to pretend to be the fixers of. And how condescending is that? To lecture other people and act as though women of color are so helpless and stupid that they can't figure out, that black women can't figure out life unless they have white women to help them. Oh my gosh, you know how unbelievably racist that actually is? It's like the Dave Chappelle skit where he's like a Klansman, but he's black and he's blind and he doesn't realize that nobody has the heart to tell him. So they're really upset over J.D. Vance. Then you had Chelsea Handler, who I feel like is the blonde version of Kathy Griffin, who is the female version of Carrot Top. But Carrot Top's funny and sometimes. No Norm MacDonald jokes here. Audio soundbite 25. This has, they're still going back to the J.D. Vance cat lady. Well, his interview that he gave like some years ago. Listen to this. This is stupid.
Hey, as you might have heard, Donald Trump's running mate and future star of his own Dateline episode, J.D. Vance, is ruffling quite a few feathers this week.
We're effectively run in this country by a bunch of childless cat ladies who look at Kamala Harris. The entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children.
Listen up, you wingnut elegy. This country is still controlled by men in systems that were set up by men that are carefully crafted to continue to benefit men. So to put it in women-hating terms, you'll understand you're being hysterical. But let's be clear, there's no correlation between childless people and the presidency. For example, our very first United States president, Mr. George Washington, didn't have children. In fact, he had two stepchildren. That's right, just like someone else I know. And to your point about Kamala not being fit because she's not a mother, I'd like to remind you that no president in the history of the United States has ever been a mother. But maybe if she had five kids with three different men and a scandalous affair with a porn star and was convicted felon, that would be more palatable to Republican men. I mean, my God, are we tired? You sad diet Mountain Dew drinking couch humping dolphin porn aficionado, all of us childless cat and dog ladies are going to go from childless and crushing it to childless and crushing you in November.
You know what gets me? Are all the women who don't have kids are so damn obsessed with telling you how happy that miserably happy they are not having kids, right?
Who was that dude?
Chelsea Handler.
Oh.
I mean, it's not even funny. I mean, it's funny like in a ridicule type of way, but it's not even funny. In some ways, I feel sad for, I mean, I know people that don't have kids and they're not obsessed with telling everyone else how happy they are without kids. But these broads apparently are obsessed with telling, making sure that everybody knows they're happy. We don't have kids. And I'm so happy. No one asked you. They hear one comment that isn't even really directed at them, but oh my gosh, they're going to break their damn legs trying to get out the door to insist that it is about them because they need that kind of affirmation. I need everyone to know that I'm very happy that I don't have kids. I'm so happy. How dare you? So that's what it's like. That's what they do. You can say whatever you want about J.D. Vance. I need y'all to explain to me how your super empowered female president was able to subsist on a ticket for 4 years with a guy that she called a pedo racist. I'm just curious. I mean, everybody remembers the stuff that Kamala Harris said about Joe Biden. So unless you guys can sit here and reconcile that, I really don't care what you think about J.D. Vance's offhand remark on something a couple of years ago. I don't know the guy. I've never met the guy. But I have seen enough of these broads to know who annoys me more. And I typically don't like to agree or find any kind of allyship with the people who annoy me more, right? I want to be annoyed less by my government and people in my government. And so having these hysterical bitches scream and moan and whine and thrash and writhe about how, stop. Chill. Calm down. Just take it down a notch. You know what I mean? Just take it down a little bit. Save some drama for the rest of us, okay? Golly. It's just, I don't understand why immediately everyone thinks that it's about them. I don't know. I mean, Kane, there was nothing, his remark was, and? I mean, so?
Right. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I don't understand. There is a point to be made about the priorities of people looking at policy that maybe have kids and those who don't have kids. And I think that's completely legitimate to bring up. And if you don't think it is, then we don't come from the same place. And we're never going to see eye to eye. So save your breath because you're not going to persuade me. But that's a completely legitimate conversation to have. But to say that and then tried to take it back to IVF, which he actually hasn't really said anything on. And Trump supports IVF, so I don't know why people are mad. And then they bring up the, I don't even know what the other stuff that they're talking about. It's just goofy. It's creepy. That's what's creepy. I don't know. Isn't Lorraine says that Chelsea Handler's been very open about her abortions too. So she filmed some guilt. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Her package is, that's not my circus, not my monkeys, man. It's kind of, it's my whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not my dancing bears. Not any of it. Not any of it. So I don't know. I think they're trying to weirdify J.D. Vance and make him somehow unsuitable for the ticket. I don't think that's going to work. And the reason I say that that's not going to work, Kane, again, have we seen some of the, didn't they have a guy who was in a dress, like go and do like all these videos for Kamala Harris? They literally had a pride parade Easter celebration or something on one of the lawns of the White House where this dude who had breast implants went topless. Yeah. So good luck trying to convince anyone else that anybody else other than you is the weird one here.
That was right around the first cocaine discovery.
Yeah, I mean, you got Hunter Biden leaving all this, you know, when he's not snorting blow off hookers' backsides, he's leaving it in the White House cubby. I mean, you have Democrats that literally made a sex tape in the Senate chamber. And yet, J.D. Vance is weird because he pointed to a table that had some Diet Mountain Dew sitting on it. Do you see how stupid this is? What the hell's wrong with you people? You need to be recalibrated.
But he said cat lady, though.
Yeah, he said cat lady. I don't like cats. I'm actually super allergic to cats. I've never been able to be around cats. I'm legitimately, you know, like allergen blood tested. Actually, I didn't even have to get a blood test because my skin welped up so bad when I did a skin test. I'm so allergic to cats. And they're just weird. I've never held them. I have never been able to be around them. So I have like no experience with them at all. Totally fine with dogs. You know, I told you about our rescue pup that we just got last week. But I don't know why people take that to be so, you know, usually when I come across opinions that I don't like, about 90% of the time, believe it or not, I go on with my life. Every now and then I say something because there's a lot of stupid people out there. And I don't know why it is that these like leftist broads can't do the same thing. Somebody said something that you don't agree with, kill her, go on with your life. Okay, go get your Virginia Slims, go get your Chardonnay and leave the rest of us the hell alone.
Can we not?
Our partners at I'll Bring You Free Radio are good friends over at Bernegun. Now this is a new company. It's a new way of thought. And you have to think about not diversity the bad way. I mean, diversity in terms of self-defense, right? Self-defense options. And you have to be smart about how you diversify to outwit the state. Like I carry, I tell people to carry all the time. And I have friends who carry in DC and in New York and even in Chicago. But, you know, we all work in one way or another in an industry or in an area where you're not able to carry everywhere, especially my friend who lives in D.C. Even though they go out and get those, they're very coveted, you know, CHLs, they still can't carry. But they need to be able to defend themselves, particularly considering the high crime rate in the areas in which they live. So this is where Bernegun comes in. Now, it's the interesting name, Bernegun, B-Y-R-N-A. It's a non-firearm firearm, right? It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. So, for instance, when you go to purchase it, there's no background check. There's no waiting period. There's none of that. It's legal in all 50 states. But what it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Now, I said plural with those because if you compare it to like a stun gun that has like one or two shots, Byrna's most popular model, the Byrna SD, has a 5-round capacity. And so this is their most popular model. They've sold like 500,000 of these. And you have those chemical irritant projectiles. That's going to diversify your self-defense options and give you a way to protect yourself when the state is trying to make it hard for you to do so. It's practical. And like I said, it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. Learn more about the Byrna gun. Visit Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A, Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. Check out all of your options at Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And I watched a clip of Trump's speech tonight. I think it was tonight. Where he was saying, you know what? I'm not going to be nice anymore. So is it okay with you all if I'm not nice anymore? And I thought, wait, were we nice before? Was he nice? And then everyone cheered. And I thought, oh my God, I have a 7-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl. And I don't know what to tell them anymore about who we're supposed to be and if this is what we're trying, if this is what we're allowing, this base, horrific, horrible nature that is within all of us to be glorified and celebrated and elected, I don't know what to do anymore.
I mean, if you can, I just be real. If you're allowing one politician to like make you have an existential crisis, then I think people have bigger problems than cat ladies. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, heaven forbid if you dislike a politician that you tell your child, you know, maybe don't do this or don't do this or this is why we don't like this, and just, you know, go on with your life instead of just like freaking out. What the hell is wrong with women in this country? Just like, you know, man up.
Who was that dude again?
Well, I mean, it's Pink, by the way. There was Pink talking. I like her husband, Corey Hart. I mean, he's, you know, he does fun stuff. And I don't dislike her. I don't know her. I don't know any of these people. I don't pretend to have an association with some of these people enough to have like a personal dislike of them. But I do wonder why people are so damn dramatic. Like, I just don't know how to go on living if I can just take a pill, man, a chill pill. Take a breather. Calm down, you know? We got a whole other hour on the way, too, that you can calm down in. Stick with us. More in store. Our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. Just the best coffee out there. I accidentally spilled some of my coffee this morning. Again, yeah. It's like liquid gold because it's so good. And I don't want to waste any of it. And this is the only coffee that I will drink. I've gotten to the point. I don't drink ground coffee at home. I ground my own beans. But I will get a bag of ground coffee from Black Rifle Coffee now with my coffee club order just so I can take it with me when I travel because I cannot stand drinking anything else. It's just awful. But Black Rifle Coffee is the best. Veteran-owned, veteran-run. And you can tell that, honestly, because of the quality. They're so mission-focused and they're coffee dorks. So it works out really well for all of us who love coffee. But they have a couple of offers for you right now. First off, you know, you can sign up for the coffee club. Choose your roast, frequency of shipment. It's shipped for free to your door. You get free shipping, shows up on your porch. But they also have what they call the Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. These are all like my favorite ones. You get 4 ounce bags of Silencer Smooth AK-47 Espresso, Beyond Black and Just Black. I love all of these. It comes in this cool blue box, so it's a really great gift. And it's available exclusively in grounds. You get the ground texture, but it's bold, it's flavorful. They get the best beans and they roast them 5 days a week here in the US of A. And everything that they do from the roast to the bag art pays homage to American culture and military history. So they got kettles, grinders, mugs, apparel, all kinds of stuff. K-cups, whole bean, ready to drink, you name it, they got it. So get outstanding flavor and aroma. Experience it at blackriflecoffee.com. Get that complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler today and get 20% off. That's huge. With code Dana. 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
What really bothers me about Tim Walz as a Marine who served his country in uniform, when the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do it, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the Army and allowed his unit to go without him, a fact that he's been criticized for aggressively by a lot of the people that he served with. I think it's shameful to prepare your unit to go to Iraq, to make a promise that you're going to follow through, and then to drop out right before you actually have.
Well, you know, I mean, Tim Walz thought he could handle this fight, and it doesn't look like he's going to be able to. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this second hour. That's J.D. Vance, who earlier today was speaking. I think that was in Detroit where he was speaking. And he took issue. I noticed that last night at the event, Tim Walz mentioned a service, but didn't mention that controversy. By the way, you can get, I wrote a big write-up. It's all that you need to know about Tim Walz over at Substack, chapter and verse. You can go and subscribe and you can get all of that delivered right to your inbox. None of your information's ever sold. And make sure you go and find us there. And of course, Channel 347 DirecTV, Rumble, where the discussion happens daily. And you can also find us on X, the simulcast of the radio program. So he is. I mean, Vance is right. Walz is getting slammed for this, and he mentioned it. He's the one who brings up his military service time and time again. He negotiated an early retirement, and he got reduced in rank because he did not want to go with the men that he was being helped to, that he was, they were helping him train. He didn't want to go with his men into combat. The moment he got the notice of warning that they were going to be deploying to Iraq, he was like, I can't do that, and he dropped out. He left. And then he lied about it. And that's what's crazy. I mean, he absolutely lied about it. And I he also kept going on and saying that he keeps saying, like, for instance, some of the stuff that he's talked about with regards to Second Amendment stuff. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've had, you know, he talks about weapons of war. And he says, oh, yes, you know, I've weapons of war. And he tries to trade on his military service and act as though he knows all about this. And you can't carry this because people who have these weapons in war shouldn't be able, if you can carry it on a battlefield, you can't carry it in the street. First off, you didn't carry anything in the battlefield because you dropped out and you never went. This was one of the tweets that Kamala Harris actually had. I mean, he had said, oh, I carried weapons of war in war. No, Tim Walz did not carry any weapons of war in war because he never went to war. He's lying about his military service repeatedly. And then J.D. Vance finally has enough and calls him out on it. I mean, it's wild. But he's not the only person who's calling him out on it. There are a number of veterans that he served with. And he was, I mean, his actual former peers have been slamming him. People he served with have been criticizing him. I mean, we talked about this yesterday. I mean, he abandoned his troops when they went to Iraq. He did not want to go with them. He had reenlisted in 2001, and he went to Sergeant's Major Academy in 2003. And then when you accept the invitation to the school, you also accept some of the other requirements that go along with it. And then he got a reduction in rank to Master Sergeant because he was not going to go and fight for his country. And by the way, it's interesting to note as well that the United States Army Sergeant's Major Academy, these are college level courses funded by taxpayer dollars. So the stipulations that are attached to this are to make sure that the government, that the taxpayer gets the money, that our money isn't wasted. So he was in summer of 2003, he was going with his battalion in support of Operation Enduring Freedom to Italy. We talked about this yesterday. And they were going to augment security forces in U.S. Air Force Europe and take over any responsibility for airbase security. And then the battalion was not replacing anybody so they could deploy to Iraq or Afghanistan. So then he comes home to Minnesota in 2004. He's appointed to serve as command sergeant major, but then he wasn't promoted to that rank. And they were filling in gaps doing this stuff. On September 17th, 2004, he was conditionally promoted to command sergeant major. And he signed and initialed the statement of agreement and certification, which meant if he failed to comply with the conditions, his promotion would be null and void. Then when they got their warning orders that he, along with his battalion, were going to be going, mobilizing for deployment to Iraq in early 2005, he quit. He quit. According to those he served with, his excuse to leaders was that he needed to retire in order to run for Congress, which was not true. According to the Department of Defense directive, because he could have run and requested permission from the Secretary of Defense before entering active duty, as many reservists have. Had he retired normally and respectfully, he could have ended his retirement, ensured his retirement documents were correctly filled out and signed. And that's the other thing. His official retirement document states soldier not available for signature. He waited for the paperwork to catch up to him. So he had a reduced rank. And he was demoted, reduced in rank, and then he abandoned and walked away from his soldiers and his promise to lead and care for them. And then he, according to the men he served with, he hid that information from the public to try to fool voters. And so that's why they started speaking out. And the well-known Twitter account Stolen Valor published his discharge document and said that, yes, all of these criticisms are true. This is exactly, you know, what happened. So Vance is right to point this out. And this is a guy who, you know, he's bragging. He sitting here, well, bragging about taking people's firearms and saying, well, you can't have what I know what a weapon of war is. No, you don't. In fact, he was talking about 71 Americans. What is he saying? He was bragging. This is a Gun Owners of America thing. He was bragging about taking people's firearms without due process. And he always trades on his military service and says he knows weapons of war. Listen to this. If we have this.
whether it be red flag, extreme risk protection orders. And I think Superintendent Evans can speak to the specifics of that. I think in my latest briefing, we've issued 71 of those.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. 71. Yeah. 71. And then he's like, I know what weapons of war are. And weapons of war don't, you never, and he's told people, I've carried a weapon of war in war. You can't, he's never been to war. But this, he's a fraud. And he lies about his service. It makes you wonder what else he's going to lie about. But he thinks, you know, the media is not going to ask these questions. The media is not going to ask any of these questions. Now, who else isn't answering questions from the media? Kamala Harris. How many days has it been? 13 days, 12 days?
Yeah, I think so.
She has not held a single press conference. She hasn't answered any questions from the press. Nothing. And she doesn't even have her policy positions on her website. But you know what they have been doing? Red State has the story about how their campaign is using streamers to AstroTurf support. Except it's not working so well. Yesterday we played the video of these broads on TikTok dancing. So apparently she's been trying to reach out to online, you know, well-known online people to promote her campaign. And apparently people have turned her down. There's one, it's a Twitch streamer, Kai Sinat, who has 13 million followers. He was saying that he was getting calls from Secret Service and the Harris campaign and requesting that they do a collaboration. And he said that he wasn't interested. People have been publishing the emails and the messages that they've been receiving from her campaign. And yeah. So it's not, nobody's biting. Nobody's signing on to this because it's cringe. It is entirely cringe. So it's bad. I'm looking at some of the actual messages. Like, for instance, they say, and they've been published on X, and they're like, oh, so they talk about how social media people are being paid to promote their content on social media. And they reach out and they're like, over a series of three posts, we're inviting you to share what you admire about the Biden-Harris administration. You know, which initiatives you support or why you believe Kamala Harris with Biden's endorsement is the best candidate for the job. And then they said that we can discuss details and compensation for your involvement. That's like the type of stuff that they're sending out to people. They don't have anybody grassroots doing this. They sent out. One woman with the campaign, Alicia Howard, said, I hope this message finds you well. I wanted to follow up on the email I sent a couple of days ago regarding our paid partnership. They want to pay people on social media to promote their stuff because it's not happening organically. That's embarrassing. It's not. This is also one of the problems when you do a switcheroo like this and you're completely unprepared. And I don't know. I mean, this is bad. It's bad. Now, I wanted to touch on this idea that Walz has, and this is one of these false narratives that the media has constructed to push out there. They're trying to define him for American voters. They're trying to define him as the Midwestern grandpa who has a bowl of Werther's Originals at the door, right? That's how they're trying to define Tim Walz. Tim Walz does really good with flyover. Tim Walz does really good with rural moderates and conservative voters. He does well with rural voters. They're really trying to play out that identity for him, except that's not a true identity. That's literally, that's never happened. So I went and I was looking at what the votes actually were. So he actually, in 2022, he lost rural counties in Minnesota. And this is taken from Real Clear Politics as well as the Minnesota Secretary of State website. And he lost rural counties by over 20%. By over 20%. It was pretty significant. Not only that, but of the 87 counties in Minnesota, he only won 13 of them. He won 13 of them. Now, in of that, let me pull this up, because it's, he basically won, so he won 13 of their 87 counties, 60% of all of his votes, and Juan has the RCP map up there, 60% of all of his votes came from four counties. And those counties, particularly Hennepin and Ramsey counties, gave him a little bit of some breathing room with about 400,000 votes. And he ended up winning by like only like 100 something thousand votes. None of, and Juan's showing you, that's from the Secretary of State's website. None of the claims that he's like this, and you can see the map. I mean, it's all of the urban counties that supported him. He did not get support from rural counties. Rural counties rejected him. Rural counties did not support Tim Walz. They did not support him. I mean, he 60% of his votes, over 60% of his votes came from urban counties. So they're trying to create this identity for him. That's not his identity. He is an urban Minnesota guy. But they're trying to say, oh, Minnesota, and they're trading on the average American's unfamiliarity with the lay of the land in Minnesota, the counties, the voter breakdown. They want you to think that everything in Minnesota is rural. They don't have cities in Minnesota. Remember, it's all just rocks and cows, like he said. That's what they want you to think. But that's not true. In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get free socks. That's CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This actually kind of surprised me because I'm a whiskey and scotch fan. Japanese whiskey is declared better than scotch by experts at a landmark tasting event. It was at Glasgow's Pot Still Bar. And they said that they had blind tasted five examples, industry experts, of whiskey from both countries. Japan got the most votes in 3 out of 5 rounds. And it's called the Judgment of Glasgow, and it took place at their Pot Still Bar. And they said that they based the drinks on 5 categories: single malt under 100, single malt over 100, a blended whiskey wild card round, and a whiskey highball. And they said, and in a result that will horrify any Scot, Japan managed to seal a shock victory. Japanese whiskey is actually pretty good. They're very regimented and disciplined. But I am a little shocked, I have to say. I mean, I got some Japanese whiskey. It's tasty. But I don't know. It's just kind of, I don't know what to think. Americans spend more than 2 days online shopping every year. More than 2 full days online shopping. Really? Well, think about it. If you're at your laptop or even if you're scrolling at stuff on your phone, they surveyed 2,000 Americans and 42, they were looking at this. 8 in 10 said that they, talking about the shopping, 62 shop online each week, 62%, 54 hours per year is what they deduced. Wow. We have a lot more to get into. Stick with us. Cori Bush is threatening everybody now. Imagine if you had a GPS for your body's engine in your hands. That's exactly what you get with Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach. Lumen is a breath-based metabolism tracker. It's a little tiny, see? You breathe into the lumen at the start of your day and you get a metabolism snapshot and personalized nutrition plan. Then the app tells you if you're burning fat or if you're burning carbs. And when your metabolism is firing on all cylinders, you get a whole bunch of other benefits. I mean, you get smoother weight management, a boost in energy, enhanced fitness results, and even better sleep. But it doesn't stop there. This very nifty little device also adjusts its advice to keep your metabolism in check through hormonal shifts. So taking all factors into account, it's all based on real-time data and proven science. With Lumen, you're always in the driver's seat. So take the guesswork out and know with real data what your body needs. Take the next step in improving your health and visit lumen.me/Dana Show to get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show for 15% off of your purchase. I love the way the guitar sounds in this song. I love the mix. It has that dark country vibe. It's like goth country. I love it so much. I heard the first opening notes of this and I was like, it's so good. Everything that he does is so good. John Rich, you guys know John Rich, founder of Redneck Riviera Whiskey, Old Glory Bank. This is his new song, Revelation. And I got to tell you, I was watching the video and I'm like, well, I'll be dang, we had the devil on the show yesterday. Nick Searcy plays the devil in this video. It's a brand new song by John Rich. And we're going to talk to him about this. First off, John joins us via Skype right now. My good friend, good to see you. Congrats on the song. I love this song. I love the mix. I love everything about it. I love the vocals. I mean, I love the guitar tone. It's so warm. And it's, I mean, I could sit here and like go into old college music review mode right now, but it's such a good, this is a good song. All your stuff is good, but this is some goth country right here. I loved it. Congrats.
I appreciate it. Yeah. This is unlike any song I've ever written before. I doubt I'll ever write anything like this again.
You've got to, though.
If it hits me again, trust me, I'll write more. This was a special situation, not only the way it sounds, but what it's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, that video, if people haven't seen that video yet,
it's powerful.
Go watch that. Yeah, I mean, you got
the devil and Michael facing off.
Yeah, it's spiritual warfare. You know, people talk about that kind of like it's science fiction or something. Like, yeah, it's good versus evil. Yeah, but it actually is.
I have to interrupt you because I had this, I don't know if you can see it, Ephesians 6:12-13 tattooed on my arm as a reminder like over a decade ago, because that's really the reality in which we live in. And so when I was hearing the song, I could hear, you know, not just, you know, the book Revelation, but also the other parts of the Bible that were inspiring you or leading you to write the lyrics you wrote.
Yeah, you know, people have said, how'd you come up with those lyrics? I say, I didn't. The Apostle John came up with those lyrics, with those words. I just made them rhyme. That's really all I did. That second verse, it says, brimstone upon their heads and millstones around their necks. Yeah. They'll feel the shaking when the trumpet sounds. You know, this song is talking about a lot. It's all been written how this thing ends at the final when the boss comes back. And when he comes back, they're done. I mean, it is unequivocal. They are finished. And so as we see them out here, you know, thrusting this evil into our faces every single day, like there's nothing going to ever happen to them. It's just not true. So I said about the song when I posted it just a few days ago, I said, I hope it brings courage to the saved, conviction to the lost, and absolute terror to the truly wicked out there in this world. And I think that's exactly what it's done.
Amen to that. Talking with our good friend, John Rich, who this video, I have to ask you, where was this shot at? Where'd you film this video at? The churches? I mean, that looks like the Baptist church that's in my family's hometown in the Ozarks.
Yeah, it's about a 130-year-old little church out in the woods in Tennessee. I thought that was the perfect place to do it, because when you see the devil blast through his fiery portal and then you see Michael come blasting down in the woods, and they start coming at each other, and Michael pulls that sword, and I'm standing in between them. I mean, what a scene.
It is.
I wanted to take this thing all the way over the top, Dana, because the bad side of things in the entertainment business, they have unlimited budgets. They can make these grandiose productions out of it. And even though you don't want to look at it, it's done so well that you find yourself watching it. And I thought, if we're going to combat that, we need to come with content that comes to that level. We need to hit them with everything we've got.
I am so glad you said that, because this has been my one. I always complain. I'm like, why is like Christian music or God rock treated as a second class industry to the secular to the secular sound or any of that messaging? Why does that not get the first fruits? And so this is, I love the way you did. I mean, it's like epic. I mean, it looks like a movie. It's, I mean, really well done.
Yeah. Thank you. Maybe it'll be a movie someday. Can you imagine a movie about the Book of Revelation?
As long as you do the whole score, do the entire score. Not sure. Letting you off the hook on that one. No, not because this is such a good track. I want to come back to it, but I got to ask you too. I mean, obviously the timing of this, you know, this song, it's been out just barely, the video's been out barely a week. And then of course we had what happened on Saturday happen. I want to get your initial thoughts. When you first heard about this attempted assassination attempt, and then, you know, a little bit later, we all see, you know, just a slight turn of the head is what saved the, I mean, that we could be in an entirely different world today had he not turned his head, the president, and looked at the Jumbotron for some like immigration graph, I think that they put up there. That, you know, just moving his head like an inch saved his life. How did that hit you?
Well, it hit me that the whole world just got to see an act of God on live television. I mean, people that, I don't believe in God, your sky daddy, all the stuff that they say about it. Yeah, but they all just saw that and they know in their spirit what that was. I would also say this, the same God, the Lord that turned his head at just that exact moment is also the one that allowed that whole situation to happen in the first place. You got to remember, he controls all of it. And so it's interesting that a near-death experience on Donald Trump, the impact that must have had on him personally. He doesn't look the same. I know we've all seen that. When he walked out at the RNC with the patch on his ear and all that, we're going to hear him speak tonight. He has a different look in his eye. And I happen to think that whole thing was orchestrated on purpose to be scary, but to let the man survive. And the boss reminding him, I got big things I need you to do, Donald. Yeah. Pay attention.
He quits the call.
I view it from both sides, that it wasn't just turning his head. It was the whole situation.
I think that's a smart way to look at it. Talking with our friend John Rich, and I agree with you on the way he looked, because I've known him for over 10 years. He used to come on the radio show all the time. I introduced him at CPAC some years ago. I have never seen him get emotional. I've never seen him get like watery eyes, you know, anything like that. Yeah. He's always been very, very straight. And when he walked out on that was weird. It was weird in a very, not in a bad way. I don't know how to describe it, but you could tell, like you just said, you could tell. But when you have a near-death experience like that in the way that he did, how does that not change you? So it makes sense. I mean, it makes, and his kids too. I mean, I think Junior was crying when he came out.
Yeah. Well, near-death experiences in the Bible, there's been many of them. Saul, who later became Paul, Saul's whole job was to go out and murder Christians for the Roman Empire. He was going town to town, cutting their heads off, lighting them on fire. That's where Roman candle comes from. They'd light them on fire. And then on the road to Damascus, he has a near-death experience. And for 3 days, he's blinded. He's like, what just happened? And he realized that was God giving him one last shot. Mm. And when he came out of that, he changed his name to Paul and he wrote half the New Testament. So God has a history of doing this with people that he's got very big jobs for.
That's a great point. Talking with our friend John Rich, his new song, Revelation, which has been out now just for about a week. Fabulous new song that really gets into the heart of this. I want to switch gears and ask you real quick about, too. So J.D. Vance announced he accepted the vice presidential nomination. He's part of the ticket now. And I was thinking about this, you know, because you come from like Appalachia territory. I come from Ozark territory. You know, you come from the woods in Tennessee and all that. And I'm, you know, we're down by the, you know, down southern Missouri. And there, whenever people try to resonate, I think, a hard scrabble upbringing message with people who really lived it and they're not genuine, it shows, like the Scranton Joe stuff. I never took that seriously because I never believed the man. But when I see people like J.D. Vance and what if people like him or don't like him, I don't think that you can dispute that he came up in a way that a lot of flyover nation can recognize. Tell me a little bit about how you think that's going to play out to a nation, because you got Scranton Joe, which I think is like a manufactured, hard scrabbled upbringing compared to J.D. Vance, who lived it and was very transparent about it.
Well, you know, when you grow up and your mother's a raging drug addict and your dad abandons you, and everybody in your neighborhood is messed up on something, and you have to claw your way out of that. I'm hoping that J.D. Vance has extreme empathy for people who are dealing with those situations in our country. And I hope he advises Trump very well on how to help those people, how to turn some of the things around in our country where those people can get a leg up finally. And, you know, I'll say this about J.D. Vance. The jury's out. Show us what you got, man. You know, I thought Pence was great until I watched him operate. And then I went, nope. And Pence is nowhere to be found now. He didn't even go to the convention because he would have been booed the second he walked in the door. So I hope J.D. follows up with what we all hope he's going to do. I mean, he's a Marine, former Marine. I like him. So I'm like, all right, thumbs up on that. Let's see what you got, buddy. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. A lot of people, you know, unless, and I don't say this as like a mean way to say it, but unless you're kind of a political nerd, you know, you really don't know a lot about his background. A lot of people around the country are meeting him for the first time. They met him for the first time last night. They got the debate scheduled for August 12th. How do you think that J.D. Vance versus Kamala Harris? What do you think of that one, John?
I think that's like a piece of birthday cake debating a steak knife is what I think. I mean, good luck. Maybe a chainsaw. That might be angel food cake versus chainsaw.
Oh, my gosh.
It will be so horrific. It wouldn't shock me if they don't do it, if she pulls out. I mean, there's no. She's the border czar.
Yeah.
Wait till JD starts drilling her on that. So you're the border czar, huh? I mean, there's nowhere to run. You know, the Frankenstein monster that the Democrats and the left have built has now turned around and is eating them. Yeah. They are being attacked by the monster they created, and deservedly so.
You think they're going to replace Joe Biden? Because he's at his Delaware beach house. They called a lid on today, so he's not talking to the press anymore today. He's going to be there for 4 days. Apparently, they're all pressuring him to get out of the room. It sounds to me like, I don't know, he may not be here Monday.
Well, if he gets out of the race, he should also get out of the White House. I mean, if you're not cognitively able to run for office, you're definitely not cognitively able to be in the office. I mean, come on. We've got China circling Taiwan. We've got the Middle East in flames. We've got Russia going. We got warships off the coast of Cuba. I mean, listen, man, if you're not going to run and you're too sick and weak to do it, then get the hell out of there. And if it's got to be laughing Kamala Harris, all right, come on in. And we'll see what happens.
You sound so excited.
I would use this analogy. It would be like changing the captain out of the Titanic after it hit the iceberg and thinking now it's not going to sink.
That's the way. Exactly. I think that's the perfect way to put it. Our good friend John Rich, you know, we're tough times. But we can take some refuge in the knowledge that the battle's already been won. But this video, Revelation, you can find it. It's out on YouTube. It's out everywhere. And make sure you go get some of that heavenly whiskey, Redneck Riviera. Oh, my goodness. The best whiskey out there. John Rich. And find Old Glory Bank. All of that. You do so much. You do so much. And we appreciate it. Congrats on the song. Appreciate
your
time.
Thank you. I'll give you one quick update. So the song right now on iTunes, today's the last day of the chart. So it's 6 days old today. Tomorrow, a new chart comes out. Revelation is number one in country of all downloads, and it's number two in the world of all genres. So this is kind of the last day. If you don't have it, go download it. It's like $1.29. You know, it's not a big deal. Go get it and see if we can flip it to number one. It'd be pretty cool. Regardless, it has had the impact. My interview with Tucker Carlson that dropped a couple of days ago now has 4.5 million views across the platforms. And the whole conversation was about Revelation, spiritual warfare, and all of that. So go check that out too.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the best $1.29 that's ever been spent. So and it's a great song and a great, a great story as well. I mean, it's the truth. John Rich, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks, Dana.
Of course. Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative cell phone service. And if you don't care about that because you're broke, like most Americans, they're going to save you more money than what you're saving now. You're going to pay less with Patriot Mobile than with your big commie cell phone service. And that's just because they charge less. I mean, they don't have to charge to pay all of the donations to all of the Marxist stuff that they have. Patriot Mobile, like I said, they've got great plans, great coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service in your area and you're not funding the left. And when you switch, you're helping to support U.S.-based jobs. All of their whole team is 100% U.S.-based. They make it so easy to switch. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. And you can also get a free month of service right now using offer code Dana, which also gets you free activation. So why on God's green earth would you work with a Marxist cell phone company that actually works against you, donates to the stuff that you vote against, protects and advocates for the stuff that you fight against? Why would you not switch to Patriot Mobile? My gosh, they love Jesus. They love America. They love guns. And they want to save you money. For crying out loud, just call them already for the love of God. PatriotMobile.com/Dana. 972-PATRIOT. Use code Dana. Free activation, free month of service.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I immediately want to go to the guy who is trying to steal steak. So I'm not going in order. I'm sorry, but this immediately caught my eye. As you can imagine, it would anybody's. So this Florida man stole 4 ribeye steaks and hid them under his shirt at a Walmart, according to deputies. Man just wanted some red meats. That's all. Angel Rivera, 66, was charged with petty theft of $100 or more after he on this Walmart ribeye theft. He hid them under his shirt and they got him on camera. He went and picked out 4 packs of ribeyes, placed them on the top part of his shopping cart. And then he went to a different aisle where I guess he thought cameras couldn't get him. And he hid them under his shirt, which he was covered by a jacket. And then he left without paying. Walmart asset protection officer confronted him. He gave the steaks back. They waited till deputies arrived. It was they were recovered but damaged. $102
for four steaks.
$102. Man, that's a lot. So he gets in trouble. So we also have this guy. He didn't want to share his passcode on his phone. He did not want to share his passcode, his password, his phone's like to unlock his phone with his girlfriend, and he jumped into the ocean. This dude doesn't sound trustworthy. No. Just got to say, he would rather literally jump to where the sharks and gators live. A Florida man, he did not want his girlfriend or his cops to access his phone, and he jumped into the ocean to avoid giving it up and tried to flee arrest after he was being grilled by police while out on a boat. There's body cam footage. It shows 2 female Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission officers questioning the guy. He identified himself as AJ, him and his girlfriend on a boat in the Keys. And he was arguing with the officers and his girlfriend over the phone. He got agitated and jumped into the ocean. And he goes, "What if I just swim away?" And then he led the cops on a 7-minute pursuit back to shore, where they promptly arrested him. I don't know what they didn't actually say, like what they just said, his boat was breaching code and they didn't have any like documentation with him. And that's pretty much all because I really don't know why they were stopped or why. But to me, like not even letting your guy, I'm just saying it sounds a little sketchy. What else we got? This is when Pompano Beach woman. Man, this woman had a bad day. She flipped off the camera, plowed a car into a school, and then she also hit a bunch of wheelchairs in a cop car. Deputies say she caused more than $20,000 worth of damage. She drove through the closed gates of a South Florida school where 12 children with special needs were, the Bright Horizon School. And she plowed through the glass door. She ran over a whole bunch of wheelchairs, and then she backed into a sheriff's patrol car and then did donuts in the parking lot before speeding down the school hallway. Oh my gosh, they totally arrested her. Tiffany Medeas. Tiffany with an I. 2 I's. Stay with us. 3rd hour on the way. Our partners that'll bring you free radio are good friends over at Bernegun. Now, this is a new company. It's a new way of thought. And you have to think about not diversity the bad way. I mean diversity in terms of self-defense, right? Self-defense options. And you have to be smart about how you diversify to outwit the state. Like I tell people to carry all the time. And I have friends who carry in DC and in New York and even in Chicago. But, you know, we all work in one way or another in an industry or in an area where you're not able to carry everywhere, especially my friend who lives in DC. even though they go out and get those, they're very coveted, you know, CHLs, they still can't carry. But they need to be able to defend themselves, particularly considering the high crime rate in the areas in which they live. So this is where Byrna-Gun comes in. Now, it's the interesting name, Byrna-Gun, B-Y-R-N-A. It's a non-firearm firearm, right? It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. So, for instance, when you go to purchase it, there's no background check. There's no waiting period. There's none of that. It's legal in all 50 states. But what it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Now, I said plural with those because if you compare it to like a stun gun that has like one or two shots, Byrna's most popular model, the Byrna SD, has a 5-round capacity. And so this is their most popular model. They've sold like 500,000 of these. And you have those chemical irritant projectiles. That's going to diversify your self-defense options and give you a way to protect yourself when the state is trying to make it hard for you to do so. It's practical. And like I said, it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. Learn more about the Byrna gun. Visit Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A, Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. Check out all of your options at Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
The Dana Show.
Joe Biden only plays lip service to that. He sits here and talks about Scranton Joe and all this other stuff, but none of his choices actually reflect that. You know, the left that is in disbelief that Trump has a bandage on his ear after being shot in the head is the same left that wanted to wear like plastic face covers and masks and all this other garbage on their heads because, you know, they wanted to protect themselves with magic, this talisman from this virus.
The Dana Show.
I know that there was not the same red meat sort of blood and soil nationalism that you might hear in, I don't know, other parallel universe Republican conventions. But I do think there were some sort of Easter eggs of white nationalism in the speech. One of the things that stuck out to me was when he started talking about what America is. He said, America is not just an idea. It is a group of people with a shared history and a common future. The thing about America is that it's not a group of people with shared history. In fact,
that is the dumbest stuff. First off, that's not really what an Easter egg is. It's not like, you know, some kind of like reference with a double meaning or something. And like, that's usually what you would see in like movies or games or something. That's not what that is. That's just so dumb. Kane was like, it's like these people are using the language of, you know, the current generation, like, oh, hey, fellow kids, right, using some of your language. It's just not the same. That's so goofy. That's MSNBC. And first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. Top of this third hour. You can watch Channel 347, the simulcast of the radio program, if you're not listening terrestrially. Find us on X, Rumble, all that good stuff. The idea of a family plot, J.D. Vance, once he made a joke during his address when he was accepting the vice president nomination. He made this joke where he was saying that, you know, he had a family plot or something like that. And people act like it's like a white, that's a white nationalist thing if you have a family plot. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Is that a white, that's, how is that a white nationalist thing?
They hate normalcy, I think. And so they're trying to demonize everything that's normal.
They've gone after his Venmo friends. I'm surprised they haven't gone after his Spotify. That's actually, they did. Oh my gosh. I literally was making a joke as this story came up. I'm turning into The Simpsons. J.D. Vance's personal Spotify playlist littered with anti-Trump artists.
Oh my God.
That's an actual story. Hold up. Let me look at I can't believe that's a story. Hang on. Hang on. I gotta look at it. I can't. Oh my gosh.
It's real.
It is actually
real.
It is so real. I can't. It's a Daily Dot piece. I was joking.
This proves they have nothing. They literally have nothing.
I'm dying to know what's on this playlist right now.
Right.
So a Spotify profile with his name and a 2021 photo of himself with his dad at a Trump rally shows the current Ohio senator following three accounts. Imagine Dragons, Rage Against the Machine, and a lawyer who graduated from Yale the same year he did. And they said that he has 7 public playlists, 5 of which he curated. And those include playlists named Making Dinner, Running Number One, Soul Plus, and two other playlists titled after songs, Morning is Broken by Cat Stevens and Gold on the Ceiling by Black Keys. The two playlists he did not create are acoustic covers and then apparently a lullaby, because he's got three kids, like a little playlist of like kiddie lullabies. That's so funny.
What are we supposed to get from that?
He's like Hitler. If Hitler would have had a playlist, you know. And so here they go. Oh, okay, now to Steve, because Steve is like waiting on the edge of his seat for this. So he's got a 40-minute making dinner playlist that he created in 2012. And it includes Justin Bieber's One Time.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he's the Gold on the Ceiling has Sheryl Crow, Ryan Adams. Oh, Lisa Loeb. That's some Death Cab for Cutie. Tracy Chapman, Billy Bragg. Who else?
I don't see many.
Oh, and then this is an actual graph. Notably absent from Vance's public playlists are prominent Trump supporting musicians like Ted Nugent, Kid Rock, and Trace Adkins. What? Maybe he's not into that music. Steve, what were you going to say? You were going to comment on some of
this. So not a bad playlist, some of it. But also, we play a lot of songs, especially on the show, of artists that literally hate Republicans, but we still like the music, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. That's how the left is. I can't enjoy anything unless it agrees with me 100%. That's why their art started to suck really bad, too, by the way. I mean, I don't care if someone... Oh, and it went over all this. It's just so bad. This is so stupid. This is a hit piece? Oh my gosh, he's got Sheryl Crow on a playlist.
His Nazify playlist.
Oh my gosh, this is so stupid. And it's hang on, he's got he's got some U2. What else? Okay, Go, The Killers, Matt and Kim. Bonnie Raitt's on his Morning is Broken playlist. Casey Musgraves. Let's see.
This is a milquetoast list.
This is the press desperately trying to find something about him. Because, see, he wrote the book about himself. So there's nothing else they can do on him. He came out with it. He's like, yeah, I got a mom who's a junkie and all this. I mean, he came out. There's nothing they can do. Right. Not only did he come out with it, but he made a movie about it with Ron Howard, for crying out loud. What else are they going to, and Glenn Close, what else are they going to do? They're like, damn, we can't go after him for having a junkie mom. Gosh, dang it. And then he had her at the RNC.
And you know they're extra salty because Netflix reported that Hillbilly Elegy is actually, you know, performing well, doing well on these platforms.
Yeah. They have no, I mean, can you imagine if they, I don't know. Let me pull this up. I have a whole list on. I have a whole playlist on Spotify. Hold up. Let me pull this up. Called Songs About People You Don't Like. Literally.
You have a lot of other lists too.
Oh, sorry. Dislike. Songs About People You Dislike. Bee Went Nuts by Ben Folds. The Jam, Scrape Away. They Might Be Giants. When Will You Die? I Hate People by Anti Nowhere League. He Was a Big Freak by Betty Davis. Get in the Ring, Guns N' Roses. Part-Time Punks, Television Personalities. Rip Her to Shreds by Blondie. Vicious by Lou Reed. Waitress in the Sky by The Replacements. No Feelings by The Sex Pistols. Stupid Girl by Garbage. I mean, it goes on. I mean, can you imagine that she actually has a list about songs about people you dislike? That's literally what I call it. I curated the list. It wasn't one from Spotify. He just has literally dinner time. And then the name of a gold Black Keys song that he just didn't feel like titling the playlist. Isn't it a lullaby song? Oh, my gosh. They are freaking out that there's nothing to freak out over. That's what it is. They're freaking out. And so they get mad because he talks about having a family plot. Can I just talk for a minute? So I don't know if it's like a thing in like southern parts of the country. I think they have family plots in like the northern Yankee parts of the country, for the lack of a better way to put it, right? That's why you have all those creepy old family cemeteries in like New York and things like that, right? Yeah. It's not unusual. Nope. My family, on one side of my family, they have a family plot out in the Ozarks on top of a hill. They get a little over the top with some of the graveyard accoutrements. You know, like, I just think it's weird if you're putting wind chimes up in a cemetery. I'm like, who's listening to that? You know, my family used to do this thing that I would make fun of called the Southern Graveyard Vigil, where they would go and constantly put like knickknacks and stuff on like all the tombstones. And I would have an uncle that would get real mad and go up with a garbage bag and sweep it all up because he was tired of all the kin putting stuff up there on like fiber optic angels and all types of stuff. I'm not even kidding. Like it was over the top, right? Like the pinwheels and everything. I was like, that's creepy. Stop. But it's just the thing. I don't know. And it's not like it's a fancy thing. It's just plots in the earth. That's all it is. So why are they acting like, if you look at like the left, they have like mausoleums and stuff like that. Stop it. It's not unusual, right? How is that white nationalism?
It's not.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Like I said before, they're just trying to take normal and make it look weird.
I can't even. I don't know. These people are ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. Well, you know, it's like it's white nationalism. It's an Easter. No, it's just literally a cemetery. You dumb bee. It's a cemetery. It's not.
And I hate the media's phrases like Easter egg and, you know, dog whistle. That was another one, dog whistle, where no one said anything bad. It's just that the stuff they said could sound like something. This is so stupid, the media and the left.
So is everybody a racist if they have a family plot?
White nationalist, yeah.
Oh, sorry, white nationalist, yeah. Which is apparently not a racist, I guess. I don't even know what that is. So if you have a family plot, that's white nationalism?
Yes. Which, is that worse than racist?
I don't even
know.
Or
is it a higher level of racism?
Isn't it the same thing?
Is there just
sounds more organized
base racism and then
sounds
one
like
level
more
up?
Official like you get like a patch or something
like if you level up from racism you go to white nationalism.
Yeah, I don't.
Is that how it works?
I don't know. Like when I like as opposed to that I don't know what the left is really good about groups and lists and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and patches and armbands and things like that. That's like their thing. So I don't know. I'd have to like
brown shirts and stuff. Yeah,
I'd have to default to them, right, on that because that's what they're really experts on. Yeah, like everybody gets a brown shirt, everybody gets a armband, right? That's like their whole thing. It's what they do. I'm just, you know, I don't know. They went after his Venmo. JD Vance left his Venmo public. Here's what it shows. Nothing. Wired ran a whole story on this. More than 200 people appear on Vance's Venmo list. I mean, there's nothing really there. There's nothing there either. They're so mad. They're desperately trying to find something. And they can't. They cannot find anything. I'm reading from this article. Vance's friends have an average of 277 friends each. Oh! Yeah. I don't even... No, this is so stupid. This is so stupid. This appears to be his actual contacts, said a guy at some leftist organization. Few of Vance's transactions are public, and those that are seem mundane. Like a payment to a staff member for donuts in January. I am literally not making this up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They literally have nothing.
Yeah. I can't. And then they went and they found one of Vance's former Senate campaign managers, Jordan Wiggins, who apparently would label transactions with joke things like back waxing or happy ending and adult and then like a movie thing.
Right.
And Wired goes, while these descriptions are likely jokes, Wiggins didn't respond to a request for comment.
Right.
Because you're a tool is why. I cannot even believe this. Guys, they wrote, let me count the paragraphs for this story.
But that 2012 Spotify playlist,
yeah,
though.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Oh my gosh, 20 paragraphs. This is over 2,000 words.
Good Lord.
On mundane transactions, yeah, from Venmo.
Not a single human has made it through that full article.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait for them to look at his open table reservations or his Instacart. our partners that help bring you free radio over at Hillsdale College, an actual educational institution. And as people are going back to school all over, you don't have to be in Michigan to take advantage of what Hillsdale has to offer to you. They have fantastic learning opportunities no matter where you are in the country. One of those is their Hillsdale College Podcast Network that you can access at dana4hillsdale.com. All kinds of educational podcasts that you can take advantage of. They have presentations from authors and their visiting lecturers and all of this, and millions of downloads. They have stuff from their president, Larry Arn, all kinds of good stuff where you can deep dive into all kinds of historical just the nation's history and the underpinnings of this republic and explaining all of it. And you can access that again at dana4hillsdale.com and help Hillsdale as they spread liberty through education because they understand how important it is. It's the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. Choose your favorite today only at dana4hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So another jet ski was abandoned on a Philly street with the same name written on its side. What? So a lot of questions because there's abandoned jet skis on the streets of Philly randomly. They dumped illegally, one might say. No one wants your stupid pop-up ad, and I'm never going to go to Vail now as a result of it. Let's see. The second jet ski was dumped illegally near in the city's northern section, and they said that both jet skis, because the other one was abandoned in a different, like further south on the same street, both jet skis had the name Kirby scribbled across the side. What?
Kirby, huh?
Kirby. And it was in a tow-away zone. As the second jet ski was there until like last night, apparently, and they finally removed it. But yeah, it has Kirby on the side. What do you think it is? You were saying that this looks like a marketing
thing. Yeah, one of those viral marketing things where, who knows, maybe is there something coming out with Kirby, the actual video game Kirby?
Like that.
Or something?
Little poof thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. That pink poof?
It just seems like it'd be a marketing thing where they're getting stories and it's all mysterious and then boom, they're going to drop something.
I don't know. A Sam's Club worker was left bruised after an angry family attacked her because she would not prepare two whole pizzas minutes before closing. Because that was a D-bag thing to ask minutes before closing. It was in an Atlanta suburb, Henry County, and the employee was attacked. She and her coworkers were closing down. A family walked in 2 minutes before closing and asked for two whole pizzas. And they said that when she told them it was too late to place an order, they started calling her names. The mother walked behind the counter to the kitchen and punched her in the face. Jeez. Oh my gosh. I don't even know. Let's see here. I'm not doing this one. It's gross. This is the Prime Day orders. So Amazon delivery partner fired gunshots in South Philly during an altercation. What is Philly with the jet skis and this now? What the hell? During an altercation with a bus aide. A school bus was full of children. And a delivery partner for Amazon fired gunshots during an altercation with a school bus aide. So when they're not running into people and trying to deny accountability, they're firing shots. And yeah, who knew that? The bus driver wasn't able to make a turn because of a parked Amazon van. And the bus aide got out and asked one of the drivers if they could move. And then apparently the altercation got underway and the guy got a gun from his Amazon truck and opened fire on the bus driver. I mean, you know, come on, guys. Deep exhale here. Stick with us. Good folks over at ReadyWise, they want to make sure you're prepared for no matter what life throws at you. You're never going to go hungry. You're never going to have to worry about what you're feeding your family. And so ReadyWise has affordable, U.S.-grown, U.S.-packed food, premium survival meals, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy-to-prepare, just-add water with a 25-year shelf life. Having emergency food from ReadyWise gives you peace of mind because you're ready. Any situation, whether it's natural disaster, power outage, whatever, you can face challenges and feed your family, and you got the confidence that you're set. So they have two things right now. First, use promo code DANA20 at checkout. You're going to get 20% off of any regularly priced item. The second is the buy one, get one $100 value for $50, 72-hour food kit. Two boxes with 12 pouches of premium survival food. You got your three hot, you got your snacks and drinks, 11,000 plus total calories in each kit. And it all comes to you fast shipped. Free and fast shipping on most orders. So your stuff is ready and to reach you promptly when you need it. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code DANA20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20 for 20% off. उठाकर तुम पैरदास जियो पिंड सब तेरी रास तुम मात पिता हम बारक तेरे तुमरी कृपा मैं सुख कने.
I think my favorite part about this is all the clip art praying that's like all around the screens. Like they're like reminding everyone this is a prayer, and they got the clip art everywhere on all the different screens. This is Harmeet Dhillon, who's been on the program before. She's an attorney. She's Indian, and she was doing a Sikh prayer, S-I-K-H. And I don't know if you know a lot about the Sikhs. I think they're pretty hardcore. I mean, just go look at the history with the, you know, fighting Islamofascism and all this other stuff. And you have like natural allies. But she was leading this prayer at the RNC. And I've been to conventions before. I used to have to go for work, but I don't have to if I don't want to now because I'm older and, you know, put more time in. But I've seen, Baptists come out, Catholics, non-denominational, Protestants, Jewish leaders. Everybody, because they have like a couple of people come out and they lead a prayer like every single day at like different times of the day. So it's not unusual. But there's been this like really big argument that has really erupted on the right about the place of Christian faith in the RNC. And there's a lot of concern about the removal of like pro-life language from the platform and the removal of defining traditional marriage as being between a man and a woman. And I love what Joel Berry said. He's the managing editor of the Babylon Bee. And I wanted to read this to you because I think it's kind of long for a t-shirt, but it's t-shirt worthy. He writes, quote, he wrote this on X. He said, quote, "Sorry, pro-life evangelical leaders, when you nominate weaklings like Romney, McCain, and Mike Pence, you lose elections. When you act like politics is too dirty for Christians to be involved in, you lose the party. When you think evangelizing entails inviting your neighbor to mega church movie night, you lose the culture. The Republican Party is no longer yours, but you weren't pushed out," he writes. "You gave it up. You stopped fighting for it. You were too busy building your stupid megachurch kingdom with its 28 satellite locations and inane self-help sermons while the culture and the country fell into disrepair. There's still time to turn it around, but you have a ton of work to do." And he adds, too, that you lost the Republican Party long before Trump. They paid lip service to your cause, but they never really cared about it. And you were satisfied to remain uninvolved and punch the ticket for whichever polite, milquetoast family man with good hair told you the right things while giving up on every single issue. And he ends with, "Trump and Trump supporters didn't start this. They just exposed it." Oh, my gosh. That's a sermon. And joining us right now is Joel Berry with the Babylon Bee. God love you for writing that, because I am so glad that you said this. And I say this as someone who lives in a town where we just had a mega church scandal at the Gateway Church with one of the pastors over there, and it became this huge thing. And I'm like, and I always hear all the time from so many leaders, like, don't, you know, politics is dirty. Don't get involved in it. You know, you're not really, it's like bad for Christians to get involved. I'm so glad that you said this. Tell me what your thoughts are of all of this, because I think what you said is what a lot of people are really feeling.
Yeah, I think evangelicals, for the most part, have themselves to blame for this. For the last two decades, we've been told, if you get involved in politics, if you're an outspoken conservative, you're worshiping power, you're practicing idolatry, you're living for the kingdom of man rather than the kingdom of God. You know, you hear all this stuff. And our leaders have been examples of complete impotence in spite of our high ideals, the things that we believe. They haven't done much good for the Republican Party. They haven't done much good when it comes to preserving our culture and stopping the march of the left. And so we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, while we were being lectured from the pulpit about not being too political from our evangelical leaders, people like Harmeet Dhillon were kicking down doors, fighting for liberty for our children and our grandchildren. And so, of course, the Republican Party, they're going to go with the people who are actually fighting, who are actually doing something, as opposed to the people who are kind of sitting off to the side, just waiting to be catered to like evangelicals have for so long.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, while these people were doing this, people like Dhillon were going out and fighting the good fight. And even during the COVID lockdown, I mean, our church was one that locked down. And I mean, we had like, you know, people within our church talk about how it's, you know, it's nice to wear your face mask because it makes other people feel comfortable and, you know, keep 6 feet away. And yes, you know, and try to justify, you know, at a time when the church should have been open and they weren't. And that's when really a lot of people were really motivated to get out. And that's why we see so many people and there's so much passion right now. But you make such a good point because I do feel like the church kind of accommodated that. Not all, but some.
Well, yeah, I mean, COVID was a great shame for the church. I mean, the fact that the churches shut down for months and months and months when people, the sheep, Christians needed to be fed, needed fellowship. It was such a colossal failure. And in a time when, you know, the left is aggressive, the left is getting their policies, you know, passed. At a time when we need people who are bold, people who are willing to speak the truth in a hostile culture, people who are willing to fight and win, evangelicals, especially particularly our leaders, not necessarily the rank and file, haven't done anything. You know, a great example, you know, I live in Ohio. We had issue one, which was one of the most horrific pieces of legislation. It legalized abortion up to the moment of birth for any reason, no questions asked, in a largely conservative state like Ohio. I was part of the pro-life movement at the time. Getting pastors to say anything in the pulpit, you know, to oppose issue one, getting churches to organize to, you know, to help with voter drives or attend protests, anything like that. It was like pulling teeth because pastors, well, you know, that's politics, you know, that we're not supposed to be involved in that. We might lose our tax exemption. There's this great fear in evangelical churches about doing any of that. Mm. Not so with the left. You go to a Democrat church, you go to, you know, a black church, they are preaching politics every Sunday from the pulpit. They are getting souls to the polls. They are organizing, and we're just not doing that. And so I think the Republican Party, they started to look for, okay, we need people who are willing to fight. And evangelicals just don't seem to have the fight in them anymore.
I think that's a huge point. We're talking with our good friend Joel Berry, and I think you're making a point that a lot of people are really scared to make because nobody wants to look like they're being too harsh and criticizing the church or criticizing their faith or criticizing their elders or anything like that. And I get that totally. But then at the same time, there are a lot of people asking, well, where's that representation in the RNC? You know, the language about traditional marriage and the language, you know, on abortion. And that's, I mean, it seems to be like, you know, and it is kind of a pretty moderate, you know, right down the middle position on all of that stuff for this platform. It's not anything like we've seen prior to Republican RNC platforms. And you said it's because, you know, evangelicals really removed themselves from that fight. I don't really see a lot of that activism as much on the right as I used to see when I was younger.
Yeah. And well, I think the good news though, is that I think the younger generation has mostly rejected that kind of that weak kneed evangelicalism of, you know, the last 20 years. I think the bold Christianity and outspoken Christianity is back. It is sad to kind of see it being taken out of the official Republican platform. But I think that it's coming back in a big way. And I think our voices are going to be much louder. And I think we're in the next 10 years, you're going to see Christians being a lot more effective to get some of these political wins.
Talk to me about this for a minute, about the idea of that you're being a bad Christian if you're involved in political outreach, because that, if it's not said, it's definitely intimated in a lot of churches. And I have so many of our friends in our church. It's like the dirty thing. Like we, you know, people know that I work in politics, but it's like a dirty thing that we just don't talk about. It's just very odd. What are your thoughts on that? How do we overcome that?
Well, I think part of it is a little bit of an embarrassment reflex. You know, the 90s and the 80s, we had the moral majority and the Jerry Falwells. And there's this kind of like, well, we don't want to be those icky, you know, right-wing Christians. And so a lot of evangelical leaders have kind of taken upon this mantle as being like PR reps for Christianity. We have to be cool. We have to be kind of, pleasing and winsome, and we got to invite people in. We can't be like those hard-nosed Republicans. We can't be like the Rush Limbaugh types. And so they kind of just pushed all that aside. And there's a lot of kind of like passive-aggressive like shaming of any outspoken conservatives, outspoken Christians who are involved in politics. And, you know, as a result, you're seeing, you know, school boards in largely Christian areas are being populated completely by leftists, you know, city council, local elections. I mean, we've completely given this up to the left. You know, the evangelical voters are the most reliable pro-life, pro-family voting bloc. I mean, if churches were to mobilize, we could make sure that a Republican never lost an election again. Mm. But I think there's just been this overwhelming fear from our leadership, to look bad. They don't want to look uncool. They don't want to look square.
And it's like a business approach too. I mean, I understand that you know, you're out there trying to win souls over, but sometimes it maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, sometimes for me it seems like, you know, you have some leaders out there that are more interested in adding more, you know, seats to the corporatized megachurch than actually going out and winning the souls.
Yeah, they're entrepreneurs now. They're trying to get more butts in seats. And they have won people to their buildings with, you know, slick programs and cool music and really kind of watered down sermons that don't really have a lot of depth to them. And they're at the point now where they have these, you know, 20,000 person churches, a third of which are on the left politically. And they know that if they speak out, that they're going to lose all these people. What do we do? And so I think a lot of it is absolutely, it's money motivated.
Because it's not like people are speaking out on, you know, like just trying to think of, you know, like taxes or something like, I mean, you're talking about life and you're talking about, you know, the building blocks of a functioning society, which is a family that parents, a man and a woman start and, you know, all of that stuff. I mean, they're not controversial things. I mean, it's very biblical, but they're very nervous to talk about any of this stuff. And which is weird because the stereotype from the left is that they're not, but in reality they are.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing I always tell people is that Christians are meant to be salt and light. You know, our presence in the world should make the world look different. We're not meant to just kind of sit in our churches and our ivory towers and we just kind of like listen to our sermons and that's it. We're supposed to go out and it's supposed to make a radical difference in our communities and our states and our countries. And so I hope that the tide is turning in Christianity in America. I hope that we're kind of turning back that fear that we've had for so long. Because we're going to lose our republic. We're going to lose our freedoms if evangelicals don't start mobilizing.
Yeah, that's a good point. One last thing you add, you want God back in the party. Me too. That requires you to emerge from your pristine ivory towers and take your Christian faith into the ugly, messy world of political action. You add, feel free to join us, but I won't hold my breath. You don't sound very optimistic there, Joel.
I'm naturally a pessimist. That way I'm always surprised that something good happens.
Right.
I hope it does turn out well. I hope it does.
And what do you, do you think that that's going to, what would you like to see? This will be my last question to you. What would you like to see with regard to this issue in the RNC? Because I understand people's concern, and I completely agree with you 100% on this. I understand the concern that individuals have, but like you, I'm like, well, where were you out here fighting for this? Or why were you so quiet on this issue? And it's always like the same groups forever that have always held the line on issues of like life or marriage or things like that. And some of the people that I see speaking out the loudest about this now, I've noticed were pretty silent during some of these battles before.
Yeah, I think really the only thing that's going to turn this around in a substantive way is going to be, it's going to take radical spiritual revival from the ground up. I think all of us need to repent. Our leaders, we need repentance. We need repentance. We need to get back to the basics of what Scripture says, preaching the plain truth of Scripture, speaking the plain truth of Scripture to this post-truth culture, and living it out. And I think once we do that, I think you'll start to see this groundswell of change. It's going to look weird and mysterious, and we're not going to be able to necessarily put our finger on it, but I think it has to start in the churches with repentance and revival in our hearts, and getting back the basis.
Yeah, I agree with you. I keep hearing people say, oh, we're navigating a post-Christian world. I don't know if I'm ready to adopt that line of thinking yet. Post-Christian world.
Me neither.
Yeah, I'm not ready to accept that. Joel Berry with the Babylon Bee. God bless you, my friend. I appreciate you joining me today. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. So Donald Trump has picked his new running mate, J.D. Vance. Trump looked for someone he knew would be a rubber stamp for his extreme agenda, and make no mistake, J.D. Vance will be loyal only to Trump, not to our country. And unlike Mike Pence, Vance said he would have carried out Trump's plan to overturn the 2020 election. He supports a national abortion ban and voted against protecting IVF. And if elected, he will help implement the extreme Project 2025 plan for a second Trump term, which would target critical programs like Head Start and Medicare. But we are not going to let that happen.
You know, they're having their debates. They've announced, I'm pulling this up right now because I've lost it. So they've set three debates. Apparently, Harris accepted three dates for a debate with Vance. And apparently, it's going to be hosted by CBS News. So it's going to be one of these dates, right? Not all three. It's going to be one of them. So it could be the 23rd of this month. It could be the 12th of August or the 13th of August. So that's apparently, so it'll be like either at the end of this month or the second week of August that these debates, one of the debate, the first VP debate takes place. And man, I don't think she should be that excited about it. No, because she's not a good debater. She really is not. And I think it would be funny if Vance just like beat her to the punch with all of her sayings. Are you unburdened by what has been? You know? All right, today in stupidity, Kane, what we got?
All right, why don't we just do Joy Behar here? I mean, my goodness.
I know you love her. She's one of your favorites.
Love her to death.
Yeah, just
love her to death. She's a cut 26-1. Listen to what she says here because it's so important to lower the temperature, you know?
Yeah.
How does the word fight, lower the temperature? You know, that I don't get. I see it this way. Fighting with words?
Yeah.
Yep. Lord.
Saying, and if you feel better, we can call it, we're disputing, we're disagreeing. I'll get out my thesaurus on this. But the basic point is, I get that there are places you...
Today in stupidity was a twofer.
Yay.
I didn't understand that at first, but now I saw it and it was
one.
Very, very nice.
Folks, make sure you find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, all kinds of really good stuff that goes out there regularly. And of course, Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.